Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, August 15th, 2018. With me today, I have Kelly Guemont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm doing well also. How are you, Jeff?
I am fantastic. And
good morning, Kelly.
Hi, John.
Well, good morning, both of you. And just hugs all the way around. Hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Jamf Now. We'll talk about them in a bit. But before we do that, John, you shared yesterday some ideas on what you'd like to see in the next Apple Watch. So we'll call it Series 4, since Series 3 is what we have right now. So I wanted to dive into that a little bit.
Well, there's what I'd like to see, and there's what I think is coming, and they're in pretty good sync these days. So what I did was I kind of sized up everything I've been reading about the rumors of the Apple Watch Series 4, and then kind of analyzed the probability and went into some details of some of the things I thought were just about certain. And it was, there was two major categories. One was the Apple Watch physical design, which I think is going to change almost certainly. And then there's the health monitoring features,
well, let's
which I think is going to happen. Yeah. it's rare for Apple to stick with the same design for a long, long time. I think Apple...
Like the MacBook Pro or the...
No, the I was thinking about the phone, actually. The phone seems to be rejiggered every year in its physical design and the camera layout and
That's true. Every couple years we get some sort of change.
Yeah. But I think that Apple recognized the culture of the Apple Watch community early on. I remember we had this discussion in 2015 with Dave Hamilton, and Dave was lamenting that, oh boy, we're going to have a new Apple Watch every year and we're going to have to buy a new one every year, like we buy a new iPhone. And I thought, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Apple's going to respect the culture of the watch community and stabilize the design for quite some time to give people confidence in the product.
Stabilize how, though? Because, like, let me just point out that except for the red dot on the crown, if you were to take the same color scheme model of a Series 0 and a Series 4 in the same size, or a Series 3 in the same size, you can't tell the difference.
That's what I mean.
Well, they've already stabilized it. That's not a thing that's going to change. I think the
I think after a period of stabilization and confidence in the product, it's time to make it look a little sexier. That's the rumors anyway, and I agree
with the rumors. So iPhone 4. That's what you're talking about.
Okay, I get it. I'm totally picking up what you're putting down, Kelly. Because iPhone 4 was when Apple did their first major redesign of the iPhone.
At least. Oh, yeah. The 3G was kind of roundy and soft plastic.
And the 3GS was the same. It was a slightly different curvy phone from the OG iPhone. So we got the OG, and then we got the 3G, and then we got the 3GS, which was the 3G but with video. And then we got the 4, which was square and a slightly different size and a little thinner and had the glass back instead of a plastic or metal back. And it was a very different phone.
I really liked that
design. Oh, gosh, I did, too. Like, immediately.
The 4S was beautiful. F4 and 4S. Mm-hmm. Square, thin, metallic.
Mm-hmm.
Was that the first glass back?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The 4 was the first. And then the 5 was the 4 with an extra row of icons, you know, and we go from there. So the only thing I see them trying to preserve going forward as design evolves is the watch band, what is that, lugs? So that watch bands continue to work even if you buy a new watch.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I think the lug is the little thing that slides.
It's
got to
stay square.
There.
There's been some rumors of a round Apple Watch. I don't think that's ever going to happen because of the way the display works. and in terms of the way stuff is laid out on the display.
Yeah, that doesn't graphics seem like an efficient text, use of screen space.
It is not. It's a legacy thing from hands that were wound round and round and round in the old days. And it's just, it's a, what do you call an anachronism like that? A throwback? What's the word for something that where you're trying to reinstantiate the past?
You mean like an affordance? Like when throwback. We talked about shelves?
I don't know. There's a word I can't find.
I bet the listeners are going to let
retro.
Us
know. Retro. Oh, no.
That's the word you were looking for?
I don't know. I'm not even sure.
I don't think you're looking for retro.
I think in design, I think it's called an affordance, like making something represent something, like look like something else so that you sort of have an understanding inherently of
how that works. An affordance is a mechanical feature that integrates well with the human physiology. A door handle is an affordance because you grasp it with your hand and twist. I'm being pedantic.
Jokes in my head right now. You have no idea.
Anyway, I want to get back on track here, Kelly. So yes. I think it's going to get thinner. And I think there's going to be longer battery life. And I prove in my article how you do that.
You know, honestly,
I even have a formula. Yay!
If it were, here's the thing, is if it were, I'm trying to figure out how I actually want to put this. I have said for ages that Apple doesn't get the credit it deserves for their advances in battery tech. And so I feel like if they changed literally nothing else about the Series 3 and the Series 4 had 150% the battery life of the Series 3, that would be enough. And I think that it would also shine a light on the fact that Apple has been doing this for years. I mean, how many other people, like, really, how many pages of pixels were spilled over, I guess it would be screens of pixels, were spilled over the amazingness of they made the MacBook Air thinner on the one side than the other. It was sort of that teardrop from the side, the profile. Mm-hmm. And the way that they did that was by having little slices of battery so that the battery could be thinner as it progressed toward the back of the case. And
tiered.
Nobody talked about that. And I feel like they should, because I think that Apple's not getting the attention there that they deserve. Now, I think part of that is because if you're somebody like me with a Series 0 Apple Watch who has to put it on to charge at lunch, just as you yourself recharge at lunch, it's really frustrating.
I think one of the goals is to give you enough battery life to do sleep monitoring. And Brian and I were talking about that a while back. And if you get 24 hours of battery life, you can throw it on the charger while you're in the shower and getting dressed, and hopefully you get another 24 hours with a fast charge.
Yes.
And so you can continue. But
would be fantastic. I hope that's what happens. If
150% gives you 24 hours, that's fine. But I think the goal of Apple is to make sure that we can sleep with it.
You know, if they make it so that it can work as a sleep monitor, then maybe, just maybe, it will be able to hold up under one of the new fitness tracking features that's coming in watchOS 5, which is hiking. As it stands right now, excuse me, my Apple Watch, I wear it hiking, and it...
And this is a Series 3.
Series 3.
Yes.
And I do a lot of hikes where the hike itself is going to be at least 6 hours long, just a day hike. Mm-hmm. And so I'm tracking the hike the whole way through. It's a race for me to finish the hike before the battery in my Apple Watch dies. Mm-hmm. And that's unacceptable. I mean, if I can't do something like a day hike and have my Apple Watch function without me having to worry about it through the whole time, then that's a battery fail. So yeah.
One of the rumors is that Apple could augment the internal battery with an external battery in a band. Of course, that would tie you to that particular band.
My teeny arm can't take it. The 38 already looks, the small Apple Watch looks massive on my arm as it is. I can't go strapping a battery on there too.
Yeah, I'm with you. The idea of Apple selling a battery pack band for the Apple Watch, that doesn't sound appealing at all.
Kelly, your wrist is smaller, so the battery will last longer. See how that works?
Now, if they could do
something... That's physics.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. If they could do something I have a watch, an old analog watch, that sort of winds and continues to power using the movement of my arm. If they could find a way to do something like that, that'd be super awesome. And I'm just making stuff up here. Because, like, in real life, all we know about the Series 4 Apple Watch is that Apple's probably making one.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to probably announce it later this year. And probably those aren't even things that we know.
Probably with the iPhone event. That's what I've heard. iPhone and Apple Watch event in September.
iPhone, Apple Watch, and iPad Pro event.
Why would you do all of that at the same time? Like, the iPad sort of sprouted. The iPad's always been its own event, if I recall correctly. The first one was its own. And they always release them at Easter, because then, like the weekend it comes out is always a mall a day, because, like, you can't get into some of the Apple stores because malls are shut for Easter Sunday. And so the iPad always has sort of stood on its own when it comes to events. That's all I'm talking about, John. Just
Apple's
in events.
In a pickle this year, because they've got iPhone and Apple Watch in September. They've got to squeeze a new iMac out and maybe MacBook. And then they got to do the iPad Pro with Face ID. They got a lot of stuff in the pipeline and not much time to do
it. First of all, we don't know how much of that is this year. Second of all, it depends on your values of new, because we've gotten new hardware with a press release,
mm-hmm.
without an event.
Yeah, that's what they're going to have to do.
So, we have new iMacs now. Go get them. Like, we've done that. We have new laptops now. Go get them. Like, that's been a thing. Unless they do something revolutionary, and quite honestly, like, we've seen a lot of stuff come out at an event. And when I watch some of that stuff, I think about someone like me who has an OG Apple Watch. And
old school. Go you.
I am. yeah, like I said, I have to put it on to charge at lunchtime. But yeah, that's what I have. I'm very interested in a new one. But let's say that it's also that I'm also interested in upgrading my phone. Right. So I'm finally convinced that something in an iPhone 10 is more what I'm interested in than the 8 that I have. Okay, so let's say I'm not on a payment plan and I'm a buy it outright person. So if I'm in $1,000 for an iPhone 10, and then I'm going to be in another, let's say, $350 because I have the little Apple Watch. So that's $1,350, and now you're going to try and sell me a new computer on top of that.
Don't forget Apple Care. Yeah,
I'm not that far yet. Like, I'm just talking about the bare minimum, right? Yeah, this is, we're just going to round up because maybe I spring for a band. So we're looking at $1,400 before I get a computer and 2 months before Christmas. So, well,
Kelly, what is in Apple's best interest to have an event for? The moneymaker is the Apple iPhone.
Is the phone,
that's
right.
The thing you got to have an event for, and throw in the watch as well.
Because that event, if long time Apple event watchers think back, the iPod event eventually became the iPod and iPhone event, where we got both of them a few times. Mm-hmm. And then it was just the iPhone event, and iPods were relegated to press releases when we still got new ones. Remember those days when we could still get a new iPod from Apple? So that's the thing that I'm thinking of, is like, that event has evolved itself over time. Apple's going to have an event in like September, and they're going to mention that the new macOS is coming out. They're going to remind us of all the good stuff in iOS, the new version of iOS that's coming out, and here's the new hardware to run it on.
And a new iPad Pro with Face ID is no earth-shaking event. That could be rolled out in a press release.
I disagree.
I'm with you, Kelly. I think if Apple does a Face ID iPad, it's going to get a stage announcement, because it's more than just Face ID.
Yeah.
It's going to
They're doing more with it.
Yeah, there's going
whatever
to be
it is. It's going to be a worthy upgrade because like some other stuff. Like I can see where the watch doesn't get its own separate event because in real life the watch is not on Apple's terms. If you look at Apple, what it costs to buy Apple things, right? The watch is not a serious investment. $300, $400. When you're looking at $800, $900 for a phone, $1,000 for a computer or more, $300 is something that you slip into as the palate cleanser at an event where you're introducing higher powered stuff. And the iPad Pro is one of those higher powered things. So the iPad Pro is either going to be part of like a doubleheader event where we get a new phone and a new iPad, and then that's it. It's like this iOS event, and then we're good. Or,
and don't forget, Apple is not averse anymore to doing presentations, launch event presentations that are at least 2 hours long.
Exactly. So, and I'm just going to put this out there. If you are a person who gets invited to these sorts of things and you show up at these sorts of things, all I want in life is for everyone in the audience to stand up and start swinging their arms at 10 to the hour. No joke. I want this so desperately. I want a little audience insurrection and all the people in the Steve Jobs Amphitheater stand up and swing their arms because their Apple Watch says, get up and move. I want that to happen so badly. And if it turns out to be a watch event, doubly so.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
I need for this to happen. I'm just like, I've made this joke to people like in person. I'm putting this out into the universe. I really want for this to be a thing that happens. I don't see them introducing. I don't see them introducing all that stuff at once. I see like two things. And then the watch is sort of a footnote in there. Like, we have one. It does this thing now. Here's what you can do. Whatever. I see in my mind, the Series 4 watch is an incremental. It's an S. If it were an iPhone model, it would be an S model. So it's going to take everything that's good about the 3G and the Series 3 watch and refine it. And that's it. Like, this chip works a little better, or the battery life is a little longer, or the screen's a little nicer, or the whatever. You know, it's not going to be new features. It's going to be incremental features on the old one. The Snow Leopard, I think, is what we commonly call that.
Yeah.
Mountain Lion. Us
because we haven't talked about our sponsor yet. So
you talk about your sponsor while John goes and gets his bell so I can disagree with him some more in an official fashion.
Okay.
That sounds great. Okay. So here's the deal. Jamf now is our sponsor this week. And Jamf, what they've done is they've made this really awesome system so that you can manage all of your iOS and macOS devices from a web interface that's friendly and puts together all the information that you want to see it's just like right there. It's just easy to use and easy to see. So it lets you keep track of all your devices, serial numbers, operating system versions, settings for the devices. You can set how secure passcodes need to be. So is 4 digits okay? Or does it have to be a 6-digit code or a passphrase instead? You can set those sorts of things and then push all of that out to your devices. And so this is a really great tool if you have a business and you have a bunch of Macs and iOS devices, you know, iPads, iPhones, that sort of thing, that you need to keep track of, because you can actually do that. So you can have an inventory of all your devices. You can make sure that all your employees have the right settings for all their devices. And if something gets screwed up, you can push the settings back out. It's really slick. And if a device gets lost or stolen, you can remotely brick it and wipe its data, which is pretty awesome. Also awesome, this is so affordable. You can sign up for an account for free, and it doesn't matter if you're an individual or a business. And you can have 3 devices attached to that account for free forever. So it's totally worth doing because it's affordable even if you don't have a business. And if you have more than 3 devices you want to track, no problem. $2 per device per month. That's it. So head over to their website, jamf.com, JAMF.com/TDO, and sign up for your free account, get 3 devices attached to it for free, and thank you to Jamf now for being our sponsor. All right. So while we could keep talking about Apple Watch and new products and schedules, we're pretty much out of time, but we're going to run a little bit late because we can't let this show end without acknowledging that today, August 15th, is the 20th anniversary of the original iMac shipping. And I had one, the Bondi Blue iMac, and it was so cool. Although, just like people complain today, I did have to buy dongles so that I could use the keyboard and mouse that I really wanted with it because they were ADB, not USB. And
It had all those newfangled USB ports on it. Mm-hmm. And no floppy drive. I vividly remember October of 98, there was a Foxtrot strip, and somebody asked the kid, you know, he's like, how do you like my Halloween costume? What are you? And he says, I'm an iMac. They're like, why is that scary? And he put his arms up and he goes, I have no floppy drive. Oh!
I actually remember that now that you're saying it. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Remember how it was a revolutionary computer for a bunch of reasons? It was a color. Mm-hmm. It wasn't beige. So it was a color. And that was surprising.
It was soft plastic, and so it was warm to the touch because of the heat inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which made it feel more human.
And can we talk for a minute about the Jeff Goldblum ads?
How can we not?
Oh, no, step three? Yeah. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I have published that ad in one of my articles.
Oh, I love them so much. Like, again, Apple as a trendsetter, because look how much, like, people are adoring Jeff Goldblum now. And Apple saw it in him 20 years ago. And you know, the round mouse, and everything was USB, and there was no
mouse.
And it was an unapologetically floppy driveless machine, because it was like, yeah, you ain't need no floppies. What you gonna do? You know, and it was one of those things that for me, I think I have thought about the iMac a lot, especially as Apple has ditched other stuff. So Apple started shipping computers without optical drives. And I'm like, people hollered about this when they put out the iMac. And then the ports on the side changed, and they're all USB-C now instead of USB-A. And I'm like, I remember when Apple did this the first time, you know, and we've been through this, and it's really entertaining to me. I remember having a webcam on. I didn't have a Bondi iMac. I had the original, the iMac G3. But it was Blueberry because I really wanted.
Oh, right. So you got
I
in
wanted there to be a Bondi
the color
one.
Phase.
I did. I got in on the fruit, the gumdrops, I always called them.
Mm-hmm. The iBook, the orange and the blue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had one of the
that aesthetic the blue, carried over.
I had the blue one. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. I remember somebody telling me they read an article where someone described that laptop as a Hello Kitty purse of a computer, and they didn't understand why I didn't have one.
So, a totally there you go. Reasonable question.
And I'm like, well, because it's not red and white. That's why.
And the built-in Wi-Fi was a first with the AirPort.
Was, again, revolutionary in a laptop. And remember, that was still when Wi-Fi networks were a weird thing. You know, and so, like, one of the things that I sort of like, that I really like, actually, about these sort of benchmarks is paying attention to how the landscape has changed in that amount of time.
It has changed a lot. That built-in Wi-Fi, it wasn't even built in. It was Wi-Fi ready. You had to buy a $100 card.
That's right.
You had to pull the keyboard off. Or in the case of the iMac, there's that panel on the bottom that would pop off.
Yep.
And then you would take this card, put it in a slot, and there's an antenna cable that you had to plug into it.
I remember.
Yeah. I remember.
Now that you say that, that's a thing that I totally am flashing back to, because I helped people install those.
Yeah, and when I realized that, well, what happened was back in the day, I was a consultant, and one of my clients, part of their bill they paid by giving me the original graphite base station when it came out. which is really cool. So I had the base station, and then I was like, well, crap, I need to have something to use this with. So I had to go on the hunt. They were so hard to find, those airport cards.
Yeah. Oh,
man. And I found one and brought it home and then plugged it into the iMac or to the iBook and turned it on. And I'm sitting at my desk and I'm like, okay, so this actually works. That's really cool. And didn't seem like a big deal. But then I picked up the computer, took it out of my office, and went out onto the deck and sat down. Mm-hmm. And the hair on my arm stood up because I was like, oh my God, this changes everything.
Yeah. Because
I was still on the network. And now, I mean, we don't even think about it. But back then, that was so huge.
Now, on your podcast, I have heard you do advertisements for Wi-Fi that works out your door, down to the street, and around the corner.
Yes. Yes.
Because you can go to the pub, you can go around the pub and still end up on your own personal Wi-Fi network because your Wi-Fi network is that good.
Yeah. It is such a different world with Wi-Fi now.
I remember traveling places and wanting to get on people's Wi-Fi. And I remember about 50-50, I was traveling and speaking at conferences at the time for my work. And I remember going places and asking if they had Wi-Fi and getting an expression as though I had just started speaking another language.
Yeah, they had no idea what you're talking about.
What is that? Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was awesome.
Yeah, so, yeah, gather around the radio, kids, it's story time. It's interesting to me to think about just in that amount of time how much things have changed. For example, here's another way that things have changed dramatically. Apple stock, when the iMac was released, was right around $11 a share, maybe $13 a share, before in the month or so before Steve Jobs walked on stage and the iMac actually made its debut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just laying that out there.
Apple was 90 days away from not making payroll.
And now,
1997,
company with $1 trillion market cap.
Yeah. Yep. From that to this. And a whole lot of that, I think, was based on Steve Jobs returning and this computer. Because I remember sending an impassioned email to my stepdad and telling him, the guy who built Apple is back now, and here's what he's doing, and this new computer is about to be... we've seen it, but it was in that gap between when they announced it and when it was actually on shelves. And they've announced it, and it's not out yet, but when it comes out, there's a whole bunch of stuff about it that's really great that I promise is going to be really interesting, and you're going to notice and pay attention to, even on your computer, because he's a Windows user. And this is a thing that you need to get in on. I know that you're getting into the stock market and you're starting to look at stuff for yourself. And I think that, and I know that you're going to think that this is me being biased because I like Apple computers, but I really think that this is a thing that you should get in on now because I really do believe that Apple's fortunes are going to change.
I hope he took that advice.
No.
Oh.
But well, let me tell you, it's been 20 years and I still hear about it every once in a while. I really wish I'd listened to you, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up.
Out of time.
We're out of time. This has been a fun show, and I really enjoyed looking back at what the iMac was back in the day. That was really cool. Kelly, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy birthday, iMac.
Happy birthday, iMac. John, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
It's great to have both of you here. I'm also glad that Jamf now is our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com. That's jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account, 3 devices for free, and $2 per month per device after that. And it's totally awesome. I'm loving the service. I use it all the time. So thank you to Jamf now. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.